This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Monday, the 2nd of March, 2015, and my name is Patrick Smith. Yes, it's a Monday, quite a rarity, but as Davey said on Twitter, we got to do these things earlier now before he forgets. He's getting on a bit. But listen, no interviews this week, just honest to goodness hockey chat, and we'll be joined by Divi and the coach in just a moment to look back at the two games this weekend against the Hull Stingrays and the Cardiff Devils. We'll be looking ahead to the weekend with a game against the Sheffield Steelers being the only matchup for the Belfast Giants, and having a chat about the Brayhead clan. Are they champions elect? A lot of people seem to think so now. And the Challenge Cup final this Sunday between the Sheffield Steelers and their sister club, the Cardiff Devils. If you want to get in contact with us, at AVFTB on Twitter. KingdomOfTheGiants.com/podcast is our website. Podcast at KingdomOfTheGiants.com, of course, is the email. And SoundCloud.com/AVFTB for our post-game, where you can get Steve Thornton's post-game analysis of the game against the Cardiff Devils last Sunday. I say last Sunday, it was only yesterday. We're doing it early this week. Anyway, let's get on with it. Earlier show this week, but nonetheless, we're going to have some great hockey chat. There's plenty to talk about, and joining me as always, first of all, Mr. David McGimsey. How are you, mate?
Evening, Paddy.
Evening. And of course, Neil, the Coach Russell. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Paddy.
Good to see you. Or hear you, I guess. Can't see you. It's a bit weird. Or maybe I can, you just don't know about it. Right. Belfast Giants had a full weekend this weekend. First of all, at home to the Hull Stingrays, and we're able to snap a long losing streak with a 3-2 win against Hull. Of course, Hull, last time at the Odyssey Arena, came away with the win themselves. So the Giants really trying to bounce back and take revenge for that. And their goals came from Compon Phillips and a power play goal from Sawada, while the Rays' goals, both of them came from Lauzon, one of which was short-handed. Coach, the Giants started pretty bright, heavy forecheck, energetic, and raced to a 3-0 lead.
Yeah, caught the highlights of this game. Mm-hmm. I was in Glasgow, so missed the home game. But yeah, from the highlights, it looked like we came out and hit them pretty hard early doors. And as you say, came out pretty fast pace. And you know, we've talked extensively this season about the importance of doing that, coming out of the traps really well. And that's something that we did. You know, got a bit of a mucky goal right at the start there. Good work from Jeff Mason. Rebound coming in off Brown and Mike Compton in the right place at the right time. And just, I think it was a backhand, just puts it into the back of the mm-hmm. net for the go-ahead goal. But that, you know, we've said it, haven't we, so many times about the importance of that. But we've also said about playing the full 60 minutes. And, you know, we've got that 3-goal lead, and then all of a sudden, you know, they come back with a really good player is Lauzon. I know Simon and I, from the games that we have called this season, we've been very impressed with him. Mm-hmm. And he's pegged the whole thing when he's back in. And we've made it a wee bit more uncomfortable for ourselves than probably what we would have either envisaged or certainly liked.
Davey, the Giants are really trying to turn this corner. It's been poor for the last number of weeks. We haven't been able to buy a win, and finally we come up against the Hull Stingrays at home and we take this. But as Coach said, you know, we let them back into the game with two goals, one of which shorthanded.
You know, as you would say, Paddy, a win is a win is a win. It snapped the streak, and you know, I thought we played quite well in that, you know, that first sort of 30-35 minutes of the game, as coaches, you know, already laid out the sort of the goals. And you know, Davey Phillips coming up with a good goal as well, very well worked, you know, great pass from heads up pass from Shields, and then Sawada on the power play, always good. You know, Sawada's been the go-to guy on the power play all season. He's coming up, maybe hasn't been as effective, you know, 5-on-5 as he would like to be, but he's been a big game player, and especially this last lot of weeks, he has been working his socks off for the club. And yeah, the games against Hull just haven't been taken lightly this season. You know, every game has been a one-goal game, and it was good, if anything, just to come away with a win. Yes, we did definitely took the foot off the gas and let them back into it in the later part of the game, which wasn't good. But, you know, as a starter, as a finish there, a win is a win is a win.
Coach, you know, The Giants, as we've said a few times, trying to turn this corner. How important is it to try to use this win, especially at the Odyssey Arena? We'll come on to Sunday's game in a second, but using this win at the Odyssey Arena to try to change that atmosphere, change that tone, because as we said last week, it hasn't been great of late.
No, it most certainly hasn't. I think in terms of gaining confidence, you're right, a win's a win's a win. And of course, whenever you're at home, that's what you want to skate away with, especially at home, you want to pick up your wins. And I think overall, well, the guys have been skating off and high-fiving each other and whoop-de-woo and saying happy days. Probably not, 3-2 at home to Hull. We've let them back in. We've charged out the 3-goal lead, as we've already said. We've let them back in, and kind of judging by the highlights, and that is all that I've seen of this game, and just judging, reading various different things on forums and what have you, or on social media, it got a bit tight towards the end, and we were kind of hanging on a wee bit. You guys maybe be able to tell me a wee bit differently, but I think yes, the guys will take away, will have taken away a positive out of it, and that's what you've got to do. But probably fairly evident that we still weren't fully clicking and playing that full 60 minutes, which is what Steve Thornton has talked about extensively throughout the course of the season.
The highlights of this game are available from Giants Live TV. I think it's worth just, especially when we come to putting together and talking about the lines, it's best moving on to Sunday's game against the Cardiff Devils. The Giants haven't had it great at the Big Blue Tent this season, and once again they went in there and suffered a 3-2 defeat. Giants goals coming from Chevrolet on the power play and Sawada, while the Devils goals came from Myers, Haddad and Joey Martin, who every time I hear his name, I hear Joey Barton. I don't know why, just in the commentary, and it's always Joey Barton. The Devils always held the lead. You were there, but the Giants had to try to work hard within touching distance. But as a man in the stand on that day, your thoughts on that game?
Another great crowd in Cardiff, over 2,000 packed in, another full house, and the atmosphere was great again right from the start. But the Giants really almost neutralised the crowd in their first shift. I think the Giants started with Swada, Compon and Peacock, and we had probably 3-4 shots in the first 30-35 seconds, certainly in the first Giants' first shift. And 5-on-5 all night long, we were the better team. I don't think any Cardiff fan in the building would disagree with that. We limited them to 19 shots or 19, 22 shots on the night, 4 and 5 in the second and third period. We dominated the even strength game. We've given up a 5-on-3 goal, which, Hogarth hasn't been all that kind to us this season. Let's not blame the ref on the goal, but, it's a very, very soft goal to give, or call to give a 5-on-3, and they were able to take that opportunity. We kept them to the outside on the most part all night, but they managed to get 2 goals by getting inside. Myers with the tip in and Joey Martin with the third. And it was just difficult. Once you get behind in that place, it's hard to come back. And twice we managed to pick them back, but we just couldn't get that third goal. We really threw everything, threw the kitchen sink at them in that last period. Outshot them 14-5. Mm-hmm. Just couldn't get away past bounds. And unfortunately, a bit of a defensive lap from Big Cody let them in to get that third goal, and Chubak couldn't keep it out, and unfortunately that was the game-winning goal for them.
Coach, what do you think it has been for the Giants at the Big Blue Tent this season? You've talked a lot about the Cardiff Devils and how they're a very physical team and very proactive in their games plan. As Davey said, the Giants did their best to try to keep in this game, but just came up short once again.
Yeah, the thing that stood out for me last night, Paddy, was more the Cardiff Devils' finesse and their speed is what kind of beat us, especially that game-winning goal from Joey Martin. I thought the Cardiff Devils were actually a bit lackluster overall last night. I watched the game on the webcast. I don't think they were the usual Cardiff Devils team that I have seen quite a bit at the Big Blue Tent this year. For me, Davey's right. We came out of the traps flying. That opening shift reminded me quite a bit of the Challenge Cup quarterfinal. Yeah. When we were over at the Big Blue Tent, we came out firing. It was a really top first shift. Our problem seems to be we seem to have 2 or 3 really good shifts, and then 4 or 5 that don't match it, and then you're trying to pick it up again. And it's so. And don't get me wrong. To play that level of intensity the whole 60 minutes is going to be really, really difficult. But for me, I just felt that we didn't engage enough. Sorry, Sawada, I thought was superb.
Yeah,
he has been since
continually,
Christmas.
Continually brilliant, really player.
Absolutely, since Christmas for me, he's right up there as our best player. Finishes every single check, creates a lot of turnovers in the offensive zone, giving us the opportunity to try and get shots away on goaltenders and what have you. Works his backside off. Really impressed with him. But you know, I just felt that, you know, I know you're going to come on to it in a minute, but a lot of swapping of the lines in terms of the overall chemistry. I thought Kevin Westgarth had another pretty anonymous night in Teal for us. You know, and whenever we go into that big blue tent, see if they're not fully engaged. Let's engage them. I keep talking about this, haven't I, for the last two or three years. Best foot forward. Take the game to them. We have the finesse players. We definitely do, but just felt the times last night, we could have just ramped it up just a wee bit more in terms of the physical stakes and kind of getting in people's faces a wee bit more. And that's what Kevin Westgarth's employed to do, and I thought he was anonymous last night.
Well, you brought it up there, Coach. What are your thoughts on the fact that, you know, Steve Thornton's tried to change a few of the lines? He's put Westgarth on with Lloyd and Garside. He's brought Keefe on the lines with Shields and Robinson. Obviously, with new bodies coming in, of course, Kevin Surratt not there. Congratulations to him and the birth of his new child. But the... with him coming in and, you know, and Robinson coming in, Thornton is obviously trying to tinker a little bit, trying to find those new chemistries. And in this game, you know, arguably you're talking about a game that's the only thing we're fighting for is the Earnhardt Conference. Again, well worth fighting for, but was he right? He's been pretty much under fire on social media with regards to trying to tinker too much.
Yeah, I saw a few tweets flying around calling him the Tinker Man. Can't remember what Premiership footballer.
Claudio Ranieri.
Claudio Ranieri, there it is. I couldn't remember. Mm. The Tinker Man, Thornton has been called over the last day or two. Listen, I made my point fairly clear on this, I think maybe at the AVFTB Live. You know, I am now of the opinion, like, this is March. And I fully appreciate Surratt's been out, Surratt comes back in, Surratt misses, and what have you. But for me, our best line has been Keefe, Compan and Lloyd this season. For me, that has to try. I know he's mixed it up. I know Compan has moved up to the, what you would probably classify the second line. And I know it is difficult because he is trying to find chemistry and he's trying to spread that out in terms of the players who are performing to try and ignite other lines. But for me, if it ain't broken, don't fix it, or no need to fix it. And, you know, I understand why he's done it, but I think there's just a bit too much tinkering going on. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, set your lines, set them as you see, and pick your best team, pick your best D pairings, your best forwards, and just say, let's just go. We have a month left in this season. This is now March. I've got my full imports sat there available to me. Out you go. This is my team.
Davey Coach makes the point that we are only three, four weeks from the end of this season. And is it time that we should have set lines, or can you see why Steve is starting to tinker a little bit in these games?
I think last night was a case of, you know, we practiced all week with Kevin Surratt in the lineup, and then, you know, his wife has gone in to have a baby, so things have changed up on, you know, virtually game day, and, you know, those things are throw a bit of a curveball, and he has to change things up last night. You know, I'm sure Surratt was in his plans last night, and unfortunately that's just not the way it worked out. And yeah, I can see the logic behind, you know, trying to settle things down, and just because, you know, continually searching for a chemistry at this stage of the season when you know we are running out of time to find it, it may be a stretch that something will just click in the next game, but it's always the next game. You know, we're running out of games to do it. So I can see the logic behind, you know, both arguments.
It is, from my own point of view, I find it, it is strange when I did hear that the fact that, you know, you took Keefe off a line with Lloyd for a start, and you start to think, well, they've been one of the best third line partnerships for seasons.
I would jump in on that and say both Keefe and Lloyd away from each other had very, very good games. You know what you're going to get from them. Adam Keefe is just perpetual motion. You know, last night he hit and he moved and he hit and he moved and he just done it all night long, and so did Darryl Lloyd and so did Ray Swada, and so to an extent that Craig Peacock, who's really, you know, he played big in the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. And you know, those guys, whether they're together or whether they're apart, Kiefer and Lloyd, will play the same game. Yes, they're a fantastic 1-2 punch, but when they're apart, they still had very effective games last night. Sorry.
No, that's fine. No, that's, I have to say, you know, I can understand why Steve is making these decisions to try to tinker. But I think maybe a game, if you're going to do it, then the game against Hull is lower risk than the game against Cardiff. In that respect, in Cardiff, we're still fighting for something. First of all, we've been swept at the BBT. You wanted to avoid that. Plus, you had the game. It's an Earhart Conference game that you're still, okay, we might be behind the eight ball on that, but we're still in a fight for. And so, yeah, I can see both sides, the same as yourself, Coach. I can see both sides of trying to find that chemistry and trying to put these players in positions, especially the new ones, in positions that maybe they ignite some of their lines. But then you also say, you know, well, the likes of Lloyd Keith Garside or Lloyd Keith Compton, where it's been pretty good, you know, it ain't broke, don't fix it. In saying that, we've in the last few weeks, we've been really struggling to find that chemistry on any line and then scoring from any line. So, yeah, coming in, we'll talk about the game against the Sheffield Steelers in a few moments, but it'll be interesting going forward to see if that tinkering continues or we start to find a little bit of cohesion and a little bit of chemistry between these lines.
But everything needs time, Paddy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I completely understand that. I agree with it as well. I mean, that's why, for me, as I said a couple of weeks ago at the AVFTB Live, it's time for me, like, you know, the time has nearly been and gone. Set your line, set your D parents, and out you go. Pick what you believe to be the best team, and just have faith in your own selection and faith in your own players that it will click, because that's what you ultimately, as a coach, those are the decisions that you have to make, and you're making them for the right reasons because you believe that those are your best pairings, those are your best forward lines. Throw them out on the ice and just let them try and find the chemistry, constantly switching it up in-game and week by week. It's nigh on impossible, really, in my opinion, to forge true chemistry if you're not given time to settle on those lines, or unless it clicks instantly, which obviously this season nothing really has.
Mm. So for you two, does Evan Chevrolet stay and play D for the rest of the season?
At this moment, he's a utility forward. I'd like to see Chevy play up front because I think that's where his strengths lie. And in Steve Thornton's teams of previous, you know, that's exactly the sort of, he's a fantastic player going forward. But on D, he works as hard as anybody. It's very difficult because if you bring him back into the forward lines, then you start to change it up yet again. So as Coach says, do we now just go you, and you three? That's it. Chevy, you're playing on D, and we'll work out the healthy scratches later. Because it seems to me now that we've already got one permanent healthy scratch in Mark McCutcheon. He's not been seen since the arrival of Nathan Robinson. And, you know, so there's only one other guy who's going to have to be sitting out. Chevy, I like him on D, but I'd prefer to see him up front.
Interesting that last night, man of the match, and well, also Kevin Phillips never took a shift last night. You know, he's been virtually scratched the last few games as well. You know, Chevy on D.
That's been since we were in Nottingham, the three of us.
Mm.
Yeah, he's definitely struggled for ice time there, and you know, Chevy had a very, very good game last night. I think Steve Thornton actually mentioned, and well, the man of the match tells you he was our best D man on the night, and Anne came up with a goal because he was playing up front when we got the power play opportunity. Yeah. So you call him the utility guy. I think Adam Keefe christened him that on Twitter there a few days ago as well, you know. So always a useful player to have in your squad, someone that can go both ways like that. But like Mark Doodium could a few years ago, you know, top quality player.
I think another point, and I can't remember whether I heard it from Thorch or whatever, but something that came into my mind recently there was to do with, and it was a real standout for us last season, was our transition game from the back end. You had Sandrock, Elfring, Mason. Of course, we'll have them again this year. But our transition game this year has not been anywhere near what it was last year.
Yeah.
And Chevy's a superb skater. He's great with it. You know, Davey always talks about, you know, a heads up player, somebody who doesn't have to look down. He just knows where the puck is, right in the end of a stick. And to me, Chevy is a good transitional D-man. Sometimes where, you know, if you look at some of the penalties that he's taken, you can almost notice that he's a bit of a forward playing D. But overall, for me, I think Chevy's been excellent back there. As you said, Paddy, he's played physical. that's something that we've been kind of crying out for at times with our D core. He's like, he plays like he's Kevin Westcott size. And for that, he'll always get my respect because that guy, you know, we've talked over the years about Keefe, about Lloyd, about Surratt, Peacock, all these guys who bleed teal, for want of a better term. Evan Chevrolet's another one, loves it, plays with a lot of pride for the club, and he's one of those guys that whenever you ask him to do something, no questions asked. I'm sure of it. He's a consummate professional, and I think he's done a very good job so far back there as on D and as a utility forward.
Yeah, you're here. I fully agree with that. Highlights of this game, gentlemen, will be available via Devils TV, or I assume so. They won the game. I know our good friend Mark Hitchcock still waiting to see highlights of the Sheffield Steelers winning the Big Blue Tent, but I'm sure the Devils winning this game, we'll get to see them soon enough. Battering ahead, boys, let's have a quick look around the league. The Brayhead Clan further solidified their position, possibly as Elite League champions elect, in my eyes, with wins over Nottingham and Fife. Coach, you were in Brayhead on Friday night with your home for hockey, Premier Sports, and what was a great win for the Clan?
Yeah, the first period was an awful game to call. It was so difficult. Murph and I both said, and Finner actually said it as well afterwards, cheaper, that first period was brutal. It was brutal. It was so hard to call. But do you know what? The Brayhead were good, and they were more than deserving of their victory. Mm-hmm. I was so surprised with the Nottingham Panthers, Paddy. So surprised. They looked a shadow. You know, we talk about our season, been a really bad season for us. I mean, Nottingham just looked completely abject on Friday night. They had a huge following up for the triple header weekend. And there was, they had opportunities, do not get me wrong. A couple of players really stood out for me, Chris Lawrence, Gulam Deset. Anything offensive went through those guys, top quality players, but the Panthers are just lacking something as well. Yeah. We've talked about it ourselves. The Panthers are lacking something as well. But the Brayhead Clan were excellent. Picked up, finished with 4D and 8 defensemen. So they did, you know, obviously carrying a couple of suspensions there on Friday, even Fitzgerald and Frank still out. Just something you touch on the Fife victory as well for Brayhead. You know, I was talking to Finnard after the game, and he said, like, we're down to 8 forwards, 4D. We'll have Fitzgerald back, but like we're struggling. I can kind of see us like we're tired and all the rest. He said, but you know what? He said, Fitzgerald will give us a spark on Sunday. He'll give us that spark. And sure enough, after 13 seconds on Sunday, Fitzgerald comes straight over to Nickerson. You see them eyeball looking across the ice at each other, drops him in, and he gets his team going, and he got the crowd into the game right from the very start.
Yeah.
And that is something that I feel, from a Belfast Giants perspective, we have lacked at times this year. Just play angry, get angry, go and, as Davey would say, go and grab somebody by the scruff of the neck and just freaking get yourself into the game, get your teammates into the game, and more importantly, get the bloody crowd engaged right from the start. Let the opposition know we're here for a freaking good game of hockey today. We've got the eye of the tiger. And that's what the Brayhead Clan do, and that's what they've done most of this season. They've just known when to up it, and fair play to them. I think they're going to go on and win the Elite League title.
Most importantly, Coach, did you see our good friend Aaron Lord from the Cat's Whiskers, and is he okay?
I did see him. I actually nearly burst out laughing live on television at one stage, because when the Clan's fourth goal went in, Aaron was sat to my left, about 30 yards away, and I looked across, and he let the biggest collective exhale out I've ever seen in my life. He just looked like he was ready to go and jump off the nearest bridge. But
he sounded like it last week on the Cat's Whiskers, mate. I've never heard a man sound so depressed in my life. But
yeah, we were giving them plenty of stick on Friday evening afterwards. But no, a very disappointing Nottingham Panthers performance. But yeah, a pretty good Brayhead Clan performance.
Davey, can we say the Brayhead Clan champions elect?
Yeah, I think so. I've been saying it for a few weeks now that the run in they have, the run in the teams closest to them have. I think Sheffield probably closest to them still have to play Cardiff 3 times. I think Cardiff are probably maybe just a little bit too far out now. It's almost down to a one horse race, isn't it? You know, I can't see anybody but Brayhead winning it from here on in.
And as I said, Nottingham compounded that loss with another one to Dundee the following night to make it 7 on the trot before snapping that against Edinburgh 5-3. And Davey, what do you think it is? Like, we've heard Corey Neilson on give a few interviews where he's trotting out the whole CHL excuse.
It's interesting. It's the first time it's come out this season. Is it a factor? Potentially, yes, because it's always seems to have been when teams from the UK have gone into Europe, they have struggled the season that they've played in Europe. It's a factor there to be seen. You know, it's happened to Belfast, happened to Sheffield, it's happened to Nottingham a few times. You know, difficult one to call. It's interesting that the season, was it the season before they won their Grand Slam? You know, there was plenty of people calling for Neilson's head, and I don't think it'll take them to go on too much more of a worse, you know, bad run, that the knives will start sharpening up for him again. You know, it's been Levy, that's Rick Strachan, that pulls the strings on that team anyway. So, you know, Neilson's maybe just there to do the recruitment, and Strax does the important part. But you know, they're going to need Corey's Facebook to get a good team together again for next season.
That's too, you know, they're not going to win the league, nor are we. It's a three-horse race in that regard, albeit with the Brayhead clan firm favourites for the elite league title. But for me, that'll be 2 years of reasonably poor recruitment, in my opinion, from Corey.
I mean,
the Panthers were pretty poor last year. Yes, I know they had 1,000,001 injuries. They brought in 1,000,002 imports, spare imports as well. But it's very un-Neilson-like. Teams the last couple of seasons, it really is. I know that Grand Slam team that they had were absolutely superb. You'll never forget the likes of Ling, Benedict, and Graham. That line were absolutely superb. But just something about this Panthers team, which just is very un-Panthers like. Happy days from our perspective as Belfast fans. Long may that continue. But very strange, and it makes me wonder what the change in Corey's overall recruitment policy has been over the last couple of seasons. And it will be interesting to see what happens. I just wonder, has he maybe lost a bit of a zest for it? I'm not 100%. It's so hard to know with Corey because he's such a difficult guy to read ordinarily. But be interesting to see what happens with the Panthers come the summer.
Well, I've been saying for many a season, I've never been a big fan of Corey Neilson, even with his recruitment policy. I think that personally, at times I think that year with David Ling and Brandon Benedict and that team was good fortune. You know what I mean? He hasn't recruited as well since. Before that, you could argue he didn't really recruit as well. Yeah, they won cups. Yeah, they were able to put it together in the playoffs. But with regards to the league chase, they were there, but never really there. And then they finally put it together in one season and won three of the four trophies available. And then since then, again, just trying to find that form, trying to find that recruitment, never really had it again. It'd be interesting to see if, you know, this, somewhere out there, Jono or somebody saying he's the most successful coach in Panthers history, and that's a stat I can't argue with. But I'm not a big fan of his coaching, and I actually think that, you know, it's no, as Davey pointed out, I don't think it's any sort of a coincidence that Corey Neilson's fortunes changed when Rick Strachan came into the club. I don't think that's a coincidence in the slightest. It'd be very interesting, considering they've now they've snapped this 7-game losing streak with the playoffs up ahead, if they can turn it around and put a charge on, because next weekend they've got 2 games in Belfast and 2 teams that, let's be frank, haven't got the best of form of late. So one team's going to be pleased and one team isn't. So we'll talk about that next week. Coming back to Brayhead, they travel to Sheffield on Wednesday for what could be a massive game in the Motorpoint Arena, coach, and it's live on Premier Sports.
Yeah. Paul Eddy and Murph are doing that one. It's from Ice Sheffield. So it's a big game. Yeah, it's at Ice Sheffield. Mm. So it is, randomly. A big game, no question about that. Finner will have his team ready, as I'm sure Jared Adams will have his team ready. They've come on the back of a defeat against Coventry last night. Had Hitchie on the phone first thing this morning, drowning. It sounded like he had been drowning his sorrows last night. sounded humpy Hitchie again, so he did. But that's a big game. At the end of the day, for me, Sheffield have to win that in regulation to give themselves a sniff of chasing down the Brayhead clan.
Belfast and Nottingham joined Brayhead, Cardiff and Sheffield in confirming their spots in this season's playoff qualifiers. And finally, this Sunday sees the Challenge Cup final take place at the Motorpoint Arena. Sheffield Steelers up against the Cardiff Devils. Davey, your thoughts on that?
There's what's happening on Sunday?
the Challenge Cup final, mate.
Finally, we've got there. We'll go on to talk about Belfast, Sheffield in a minute, I suppose. But, you know, will Sheffield neither, will they still be pushing for the Elite League title? Will they, you know, we know what happened whenever we played a game one night before a one-off Challenge Cup final, what happened to us in the final. And, you know, Cardiff Devils, you know, they're on the up and up. They've won a lot of games of late. Sheffield Steelers haven't been doing too bad, but their goaltending situation, you know, just how fit is Eunice? And it's just that. It's all set up for those sets of fans to have a, you know, a good day out. Somebody's got to win it. Somebody's got to lose it. It doesn't really bother me, to be quite honest. I'm sorry that I can't be more enthusiastic about it.
Coach, the a knock for the Sheffield. We'll come on to the Sheffield Steelers on a whole with regards to the Giants game in a second. But they took a knock this week with the news that Frank Doyle probably won't be back for the rest of the season with his injury. And I think this comes down to a battle between Bounds and Eunice.
Eunice has impressed me. I know he's had a couple of blowout games as well, one in Cardiff especially. But he has impressed me overall. Took obviously the concussion against the Nottingham Panthers, which sidelined him until last weekend. I think that'll be a really good game of hockey. I think the Cardiff Devils obviously have the easier game on the Saturday night. The Devils are at home to the Dundee Stars, whereas Sheffield, you would hope from our Belfast Giants perspective, will have a far tougher game against the Giants. But of course, the Sheffield Steelers don't have the travel involved the next day or anything. They'll be able to go home to their beds and get all their post-game treatments and all that type of stuff and have a good night's sleep, whereas the Cardiff Devils will be up first thing in the morning and travelling down to Sheffield. So who would I like to win? I'd probably like to see the Cardiff Devils. I like the brand of hockey that the Devils have brought to the league this year. And they, more times than not, play with that physical brand, and they have a lot of finesse in there with the likes of Brent Walton, Joey Martin, Jake Morissette. I like the way they're set up at the back. They're physical, those guys that turn up to play every single night. And yeah, I'd probably like to see the Devils win.
Is this
game? I'd like to think that the killer will spring for a hotel for the boys on Saturday night in Sheffield. They'll surely not put them on a bus on Sunday morning and make them drive that up on the day of the final. And I suppose deep down, we still have a grudging respect for Todd Kelman for what he did in Belfast. And I suppose if the chips were to fall one side down, I'd probably like Killer to win it more than Sheffield.
My goodness, is that Davey McGimsey rooting for one team that isn't Belfast Giants?
Never heard of it.
No.
Is this game on Premier Sports?
No comment, Patrick.
Okay, well, I'm just a legitimate question.
No, it's not on. The answer to your question, in short, no, it's not.
That's
amazingly.
That's a real shame.
The least said, the better.
I think so. Okay, let's move on then. The day before the Challenge Cup final at the Motorpoint Arena, the Belfast Giants roll in to South Yorkshire to take on the Sheffield Steelers Saturday at 7 p.m. The Sheffield Steelers currently, we were speaking before the game against Brayhead this week, they have 6 wins from the last 10. They lost in Coventry last weekend. Weber doing brilliant things in Coventry by the sounds of things and really picking up some big scalps. But the Sheffield Steelers coming off that loss in Coventry and then Brayhead this week. The Giants lead the series against the Sheffield Steelers 4-3 this season, with the last game between the two at the Odyssey Arena, of course, the other week. The Sheffield Steelers with a Colinetti overtime winner. Davey, all the games between the Steelers and the Steelers, in my Sean Connery accent, the Steelers and the Belfast Giants have been pretty tight.
I must ask you a question.
You've been pretty tight, and we hope it's going to be the same here.
Yeah, well, I hope it's not a particularly tight game, to be honest. I hope the Giants go and blow them out. I just still think that this team of ours has got so much to offer offensively. And, you know, I keep thinking that we're going to turn a corner. And, you know, I think Sunday night's game was a really, really good performance. And I'm hopeful that we rebound off that. A week's rest, I don't know whether, you know, we're obviously playing banged up in places. You can see boys are carrying bits and pieces of knocks. And, you know, somebody might get a rest on Sunday night and you know, at the end of the day, it's all about getting the batteries really charged now over the next 2 weeks to really be ready to go come the business end. We've qualified for the playoffs. It looks set that we're probably going to get either Nottingham or Cardiff. So, you know, we have to be ready for those games. These games at the weekend, although you want to win every game, it's more important about how we get a performance out of the team and that we'll keep continually improving, because we have been poor of late. And, you know, we are improving. Sunday night was a big improvement. You know, Friday night was a home win. We'll lead the series 4-3. We'll want to make sure we'll win this series. And I'm hopeful. I always am. I'm optimistic. Every game starts, I expect us to win it. And Sunday will be no different. Or Saturday, sorry, will be no different.
It's interesting you bring up the fact of, the, you know, maybe getting the guy, giving the guy a rest or whatever. Do you think that healthy scratch, well, you take out, coach, do you think a healthy scratch should be for rest purposes or for sending a message?
I just don't buy it. I honestly don't buy it. I mean, we've been playing at max quota. You know, we've sat Mark McCutcheon and another guy for what, the last 4 or 5 games, maybe longer actually. I honestly don't buy it. We have had injuries at the start of the campaign, no question about extensive injuries and long standing injuries. But I'm not buying this tiredness. Absolutely not. I mean, Steve Thorne, I'm sure, has given the guys a day or two extra rest whenever it's been needed. And all, you talk there about banged up bodies. I'm sure we do. I'm sure every bloody team has banged up bodies. I don't buy that at all. I do buy into the confidence and all that type of stuff, but I do not for 1 second buy into the tiredness thing or banged up bodies. I think that's symptomatic of all the time. I think that's reflective of all the time. Sorry, should I say.
Davey?
Okay, well, you know, I don't know.
That's just my opinion.
I'm not gonna try and counter argue. It's just that I just think that there's an opportunity this weekend to potentially rest a couple of people that may be a bit more banged up than we probably realise. And it's almost a bit of a dead rubber game. You know, I don't think Sheffield will win the league. We can.
But what about momentum, Davey, leading into we keep hearing playoff hockey. We got to play playoff hockey from here on, and we got to build that chemistry. We've got to set our lines. You know, what do you do?
And your
key guys?
It is. Do you continually go back to the well until it goes dry as well? You know, if you have a player that you know is struggling perhaps with an injury, and just no, you know, from Sunday now, if you give them next Saturday off, there's no game the following week. You're giving them virtually 2 weeks rest bar, a bit of light training. You know, then he's coming back into the playoffs, bang, bang, 2 weeks into the Nottingham doubleheader, fresh, ready to go, send a message then, instead of, you know, just, you know, running the wheels right off him. That's the coach's decision. You know, that's why the coach is the coach, I suppose.
Going into this, coach, of course, looking at what we looked at earlier in regards to the Challenge Cup final, and the Giants have been in this position before. Have been in the position that the Sheffield are in now. A game at home the night before a cup final, we remember it very well. The Nottingham Panthers in town the night before we lost to the Ayr Scottish Eagles in the Challenge Cup final.
Never forget it.
How much of an eye do you think that Sheffield will have in this game, or can you put it out of hand?
I suppose it maybe depends how the Sheffield Steelers go against Brayhead on Wednesday evening. If Sheffield pick up the 2 points there in regulation, they probably still feel that they've got a sniff of the league championship, which then makes Saturday night's game against the Belfast Giants still an important fixture for them. If Brayhead get away from Sheffield on Wednesday with the 2 points, Sheffield might, you might find that they might mail the Saturday night in.
Yeah.
But then you have a duty of responsibility, as we've said many times over the years as fans, to your own support. I mean, the Sheffield-Belfast game will probably get 5,500, 6,000 into the motor point on Saturday evening, you would imagine. I mean, that's a lot of people paying damn good money to come and watch their team play. So you do have a duty of responsibility there to your fan base. But of course, if that were to be the case and Saturday was to be a dead rubber, in essence, if Brayhead skated away on Wednesday night with the points, of course Sheffield are going to have an eye on Sunday and the big grand final. But, you know, as I said previously there in the previous conversation about momentum and what have you, you don't want to mess too much with hockey. Like any sport, you don't want to tinker too much. You don't want to mess too much. I mean, Sheffield have been good this season. They had an awful Christmas period, which is probably probably will find out in the next couple of weeks. We'll have counted against them in their overall league campaign. But they're a good team. I mean, I was looking at Matthew Waugh's stats today. What, 83 points from 52 games? I mean, that is
point and a half a game. Phenomenal. Not bad.
It is phenomenal. It really is. They have offensive power. Do you know what? I actually think the thing that they don't have compared to other teams is the overall depth. They don't have the depth, in my opinion, of a Belfast Giants. I think we have so much depth to our team. You know, okay, it's not firing, but we have that depth with the likes of Peacock and Garside and what have you. I look at the British core of the Sheffield Steelers and think, it's nowhere near ours. You look at Mark Thomas, you look at Jason Hewitt, it's not even comparable to our guys, in my opinion. But it's, it's going to be an interesting weekend. As I say, obviously, we skate in the Motorpoint Arena. I hope we come out and run them ragged for 60 minutes and put a really top performance in and wear them out. And yeah, good luck to them on Sunday. But I hope the Cardiff Kelmans get away in the Challenge Cup final.
The Davey, as Coach put out there, the fact, you know, Matthew Waugh is playing brilliantly, point and a half a game, as he says. Forney and Fredder right behind him in the scoring charts of the Steelers with Mosienko. And then when you look at the rest of the team from there, outside of those top four, Ben O'Connor, D-Man, is the next one. Dowd and Phillips, 0.6, 0.5 points per game. And then the next four are all D in Eddie, Baldwin, Hay and Cone. So the Steelers, as Coach pointed, that depth is there with regards to the imports in that top line and then Mosienko. But then when you start to come down outside of maybe Ben O'Connor, they're struggling.
Ben O'Connor's quite a hockey player. He's a guy that's
fantastic.
If he wasn't signed up to a multi-year deal in Sheffield, I'm sure that there's not a coach in the league wouldn't love to be getting a signature on a piece of paper. But, you know, we spoke about before the last Sheffield game about this very thing. You know, we talked about you shut down that top line of Sheffields and they don't have much else. And Seth Bennett took a bit of umbrage to it on Twitter, came back to us on Twitter saying, you know, that's not true, boys. You know, there's not actually that much difference between the score in total from the top line to, if you'd like to call it, the second line. And I kind of disagree with him there. I still think that the game plan will be to shut that, Fetty, Forney, Roy line down and take your chances that Mosienko will not outscore, you know, our guys.
But he has mixed that up in recent times, that line. I mean, that Forney, Fredder, Roy line hasn't been together. I'm not sure whether he's brought it back together over the last week or so, but he's certainly for about a month mixed up that line quite a bit, because a wee bit like our line, I think he was looking to try and get that second line firing and try and get, I think he dropped Fredder back onto the Dowd Mosienko line. So he mixed it up a bit, but I'm not sure, to be brutally honest with you, whether he's put it back together over the last week or so. I mean, Rob Dowd's had has had an absolutely shocking season. We saw how good he was in Belfast in that championship winning season. He went off to Denmark.
Sweden.
Is that right?
Troy Olympia, Sweden.
Sweden, correct. And really, since he came back, he has not really fired in all cylinders at all. But it'll be interesting just to see what way G shapes up on Saturday night against us.
Well, that game is on Saturday at 7 p.m. from the Motorpoint Arena. It'll be live on Steelers Live TV. We'll put a link on that AVFTB, and I'm going to make it down there. So I'll keep a few of the text or the Twitter updates coming at AVFTB. Any other business, gents?
Nothing from me. Nope. other than you can still get tickets for the, you know, to help Dave Sims and Amy Usher, Weston Park Cancer Charity, still available there on Kingdom of Giants. We'll hook up the link again on ABFTB and you can keep donating, folks.
Here, here. All right, then. Well, that's it, boys. I'll speak to you again next week.
Cheers, Paddy.
Cheers, boys. All the best.
Cheers, David. You're right.